Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and with me today is Simon Barry, the creator, producer, the brains behind the sci-fi phenomenon Continuum, which has been a very smart, very entertaining series that we have all come to enjoy and be thrilled by, which unfortunately, like all good things, is coming to an end this season. Thank you for joining us, Simon.
It's my pleasure to be here.
So, we actually interviewed you in the first season, when the first season of Continuum came out, and now we're bookending it. What has been the greatest, I guess, discovery that you've made about this show as it's gone on?
Well, I think the ability to have a great dialogue with the fans of the show has been not only something that I think has made the show better, but it has also allowed us to really keep the show on the air in its last season. I think that the idea that that we would have such loyalty and such a vocal community supporting the show was great. At the beginning, it was wonderful because it challenged us as writers, it challenged us as filmmakers. But going into the end of the third season, seeing the groundswell of support, the fans on their own initiative fighting for season four, really was something that I couldn't have predicted and certainly am grateful for.
So that actually, that whole fan campaign made a difference.
I believe so, yeah. I think from the point of view of the broadcaster, it kept the pressure on the network to find a solution that wouldn't, I think, alienate the fans. And I think they were looking at the fan base not just as people who were watching Continuum, but many of the shows that they put on the network. And I think they understood that by doing right by Continuum, it was a good exercise in building loyalty for all their shows.
Well, given how many TV series have had to find their final hurrah, their final season as an online venue, would that have been an option if it came to it?
I don't think so. I don't think the online option would have allowed us to make the show at the budget level we make it at. Well, it would have had to have been sort of a Netflix version of the online as opposed to a web series. It's a very expensive show to make, and we have a huge cast that is a pedigree cast, and the visual effects and the action sequences that go into making the show really aren't something we can do at a web series level, budget-wise.
Okay. Have you thought about making any online extras or any of that to have, like, sort of a thank you to the fan base that everybody can enjoy?
Well, I think, yeah. I mean, in terms of the mythology of the show and the universe that Continuum inhabits, there's always opportunities to exploit the universe and the world of Continuum. It's definitely something that I would love to talk about, but we're so focused on just getting season four made and completed that it's hard to think about these spin-off opportunities really in the moment. It's definitely something that I imagine will come up. And I think that's it's been proven in other shows that there's an appetite for storytelling in that universe that can be pursued. And I believe that we can do that as well. I don't have anything specific to tell you as far as what direction that would take or what it would look like. But I do believe that there's a richness there that could be exploited. And it would be great to be able to do that on any level, whether it was a novel, whether it was a web series, whether it was a graphic novel, or even just the spin-off series.
Has the story you wanted to tell with this TV series been told with from the idea that you had when you first started?
Yeah, and more so. I mean, you can't ever conceive of the level of detail that you have to get into when you start really boiling down an episodic show hour by hour, season by season. So in every way, you exceed your expectations because it forces you to mine much deeper than you could ever have imagined. are there other stories to tell? Yeah, there are other stories, but it didn't really change the fabric of the main story of Keir Cameron. In my view, the long version of this show was always a series of chapters that ended the same way. And by having four seasons instead of perhaps six or seven, I'm not really changing anything other than removing some of those middle chapters that were extra adventures or extra layers of mythology. But it wasn't really the kind of thing that changed the direction of the show or the resolution of the show or how the show was going to end. It was really more another chapter of exploring the mythology of time travel and the stakes of time travel. And so for me, it's really not about not having been able to tell the story. It's more because I feel like that we went beyond what I thought we were going to do in terms of detail, in terms of the nuances. And maybe those larger stories from the mythology and the universe of Continuum can be told in other ways. I don't know yet, but that's certainly a conversation I imagine is going to continue long after Continuum's finished airing.
What part of making the show has been the most exciting or the most fun for you personally?
Well, I think the social part of working with the crew and the cast and the creative collaboration has been really the most fun and the most engaging, the most satisfying. We were lucky enough to assemble just a great group of talented, creative collaborators who all had the same vision of making themselves proud and also bringing the audience something that was not only going to be entertaining, but also thought-provoking. And you know, we were trying to be an intelligent sci-fi show that asked the audience to pay attention and also think about the themes we were bringing to the story. So in that sense, everyone was on the same page. And so it made the process of making the show immensely simple and satisfying because everyone saw the same end product and the level that we could, you know, hopefully reach in terms of quality. You know, that was really pleasant, and it was exciting to have like-minded people all working together for a common cause.
Excellent. Like I said, we have had a lot of fun watching the show, going on this journey with Kira, seeing what unfolds, and I, for one, am very happy that you're getting to wrap it up and not leave us with cliffhangers like so many other good shows have been left in the past. So I'm looking forward to seeing how this ends and whether or not I start arguments with other people about it.
Yeah, I mean, look, we know going into this that everyone has expectations, and that's great. I actually like that. I'm a fan of the genre myself. I'm a fan of movies and TV shows. I've experienced the letdown of having something I love to follow and talk to my friends about suddenly get cut off at the knees and never resolved. So I'm very happy as a fan of TV and a fan of storytelling that I have the opportunity to write an ending. That, to me, is probably one of the most important parts of this process, is to finish the story I started. And I think we all started. And I think that if you had said to me, Simon, you can have four seasons with an ending you get to write, or you can have seven seasons, but you'll be canceled in the middle of it and you won't get a chance to write your way out, what would you do? I would definitely choose the option where I get to write my ending. And I think that, you know, from a point of view of the fans, I think that will also mitigate the loss of the show, you know. And I'm very grateful. There's absolutely nothing, no bitter feelings from my point of view. I feel like it's a privilege to be able to finish a TV show like this. Most shows never do. Most shows never get to write their own ending and that leaves the fans hanging, and it leaves unanswered questions, which drives me crazy as a fan too. So in this way, I really feel like we get to finish the conversation and in a way that I hope is surprising and entertaining, but also very much in line with what the show has been trying to say all along.
Yes, unfinished stories make me itch.
Yeah.
Have any of the cast members or crew members asked for first dibs on some of the cooler props?
Well, yeah, I mean, we certainly, when it comes to the original props and the original designs for the show, they are all spoken for. There is nothing left. And that isn't surprising. I mean, we have obviously a group of producers, writers, and directors and cast that have all, invested a lot of their time and effort and passion into the show, and having any kind of memento is, I think, an important way to leave, you know, if you can. So I think that given the number of multiples we have of our key props, that hopefully we'll have no problem getting rid of all of them.
Because, like, sometimes you hope that, because, like, with Battlestar Galactica and a couple of other series, they just had this big eBay auction. It's like, okay, we're getting rid of the rest of everything. So.
Well, they built a lot of things from scratch, and they have a lot of design that was unique to the show. Because our show was predominantly set in the present and in the grounded familiar world, we don't really have that many sort of one-off unique props or set deck pieces. We have some, and some of the fans have already, we already had one set deck sale, and a lot of the fans were able to pick up things that you would be surprised of: Hiron signs, Global Corporate Congress signs, and some set deck that is very specific to the show. But when it comes to the key props and things like that, we're actually still working with a lot of them as we speak. So those things have not yet been put up for sale, and I don't know if any of them will make it to a prop sale, but you never know. Possible, and of course, anyone who buys those or takes those home has the ability to put them on eBay at some point, which they may do.
Yeah, because there's some very eye-catching. Just the production design has always been fascinating for me, because it has it's current day, but there are elements to it that look very, very. You see the future that is coming, so to speak. I don't know if that explains it correctly, but you see these little hints of technology to come.
Yeah, I mean, Chris August, who's our production designer, was from day one very, very intrigued about how we could build technology and build design that in a way that felt grounded in the present and predictably believable in the future. So we never really wanted to come from a place where something was completely made up. We were using extrapolation of technology that existed today to try and refine things that would be, you know, smaller, faster, lighter in the future. So pretty much all of the tech in the show is really built around things that we know are you know, physically buildable now, but that could be refined and refined and refined over the next 30 years, 40 years. And that was really our goal, was to try not to make that leap into the unbelievable. And, you know, those kinds of choices and that desire to adhere to some kind of, at least, you know, loose logic does influence the way things turn out, because you realize there has to be a practical use for them, a practical design for them. And it does guide you in a way that lets you be creative from a design point of view, but also try to be intelligent from a point of view of its usability and how it's going to play in the show. Because, you know, a lot of these technologies have story points connected to them. And so you want to be judicious about how those things work in terms of storytelling and character.
Excellent. Now, do you have any specific project plans on the board for once Continuum has had that bow tied on it?
Yeah, well, I do have several projects that I've already set up and sold, and I've written a couple of pilots already for those shows.
Wow.
So I'm actually just in the process now of waiting to find out which of those shows will go into production first. So in a weird way, I have several options, and it's not really up to me which one will be the first one I go into production on, because that's up to other people. So I'm hoping that I have enough of them out there that at least one makes it to camera sooner than later. And once that happens, I'll be sure to let you guys know.
Are they genre? Are they anything you can give us a thumbnail sketch on, or are they hush hush still?
No. They're all genre. They all have a degree of probably sci-fi storytelling in them. Some of them are more grounded in sort of the real world. Some of them have a little bit more of a extreme take on things. But what I like about sci-fi is we get to have a template that reflects on important issues and topics that are worthy of debate. So what I always try and do is use the attractive part of science fiction or the fantastical part to open a door to a conversation that relates back to our everyday life. So all of these shows, regardless of how out there they are, and some of them aren't very out there at all, and some of them are, are all trying to connect back to themes that are part of the conversation that we're having in society, in the same way that Continuum was trying to do, you know, or not do, but trying to provoke debate and conversation.
Excellent. Well, you'll definitely have to keep us up to date on which one of those projects gets picked up and will be a major force in your life for the next few years.
Well, I definitely like what I do, and I'm eager to do it again. So I'll be promoting that possibility as much as possible.
Awesome. Well, Continuum Season 4 on Showcase on Sci-Fi Channel. We are all looking forward to how the story ends. Thank you very, very much for giving us such a smart show to enjoy.
My pleasure. It's actually been my privilege to make the show in concert with our entire crew and cast, and feel the same way. And it's been also a great experience interacting and communicating with sci-fi fans all over the world and exchanging ideas. And I think it's organizations like yourself and others who keep show creators and writers and directors like myself on our toes. And I applaud you for it. And I think it's a great exchange as far as what we do together. I love it. Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. And thank you for your time today.
It's been my pleasure.
And we'll be right back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
You're home from the comic book store with your favorite titles. Wouldn't they read better while listening to Krypton Radio?
Hold it there, big guy. Yeah, the warp drive. Hand it over.
Your culture is primitive, yet so funky.
Hey, I'm Karen Bukendova. I play Selena Kyle on Fox's show Gotham. And thanks for listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Not sure I have a whole lot to talk about today. The new TV seasons have all begun, or almost all begun. We have more starting up in October and a couple in November, but what are you going to do? They have to wait for baseball season and football season to be over. We have our entire team of reviewers checking out a lot of the new shows, so when the time comes, keep an eye out for our 5 episodes in series to get underway. And I think we'll have a few more of those coming along as different seasons start at different times of the year, especially for shows like Westworld and Game of Thrones and Outlander, the stuff on the pay channels, and the stuff on Netflix. I think I may binge watch Jessica Jones when that drops and give you the review myself. Just because. That's one of the ones I've been waiting for. But other than that, we have a few more interviews coming up over the next several weeks. More indie movie creators, more film festival related stuff. I don't think I'm going to get a chance to talk with Alexis Gambus again this year about the Imagine Science Film Festival in New York City, but we will have a new post for that on the website listing the movie lineup, the shorts showcase. Yeah, I need to say that after caffeine. And I think they are still looking for interns. So if you are in the New York City area and you like science-based films, we will have a link to that information for you to check out for yourself. We may also be giving a rundown of the various Halloween specials and extravaganzas that various networks are trying. I believe it's either Sci-Fi Channel or Chiller Channel or both that has the 31 Days of Halloween. They're a month-long Halloween marathon. And, of course, our good friends out in L.A. are putting together the Halloween Horror Nights. I guess it's a funhouse and a maze that lasts for several days. We have an entire lineup of what to expect there. I believe the Tales of Halloween anthology will be hitting theaters soon. Yes, we have someone going to a screening for that, so expect a review. I've been waiting for that for over a year. I believe they originally announced it at the end of 2013, and I've just been waiting and waiting and waiting, and finally, it's here, so I'm looking forward to that one. But that will do it for this episode of Slice of Sci-Fi. Thank you very much for tuning in and giving us your feedback. If you have your own questions or comments, feel free to call. That number is 602-635-6976. Feel free, call in, leave a voicemail message for me, or record one yourself and email that to summer@sliceofscifi.com. If you are an iTunes subscriber, go to the iTunes store and leave a review for Slice of Sci-Fi. We'd much appreciate it, and like I said, it'll help people realize this show's still here. We're still here. Check us out on Twitter, @SliceOfSciFi. Check us out on Google+. Look for Slice of Sci-Fi over there. Look for Slice of Sci-Fi on Facebook. And as always, you can come right to the website, SliceOfSciFi.com. And if you're interested in a little bit more comics-focused coverage, you can head on over to itscomicbookday.com. And yes, the genre book coverage is underway over at writersafterdark.com. We have some reviews over there, an interview up already, more interviews coming along, and yeah, I'm going to say eventually there may be a podcast there talking about storytellers. And I will leave it at that. And yes, for those who are curious, Kick-Ass Mystic Ninjas, not dead. They're just hiding ninja style. And yeah, so you can hang on for that. Thank you all for your donations. They do go to keep everything here in operation. The website hosting, the media hosting. Keeping all that paid for is supported by your donations and contributions. And yes, that Patreon page is underway. And as soon as it's ready for you guys to start using it, I will announce it on the show and post links to it from the website. Once again, thank you to SciFried for their musical contributions, and thank you to Tim Callender, my very old friend from the Babylon podcast, for his artistic flair in providing us new artwork. So thank you, thank you, thank you. But that'll do it. We'll be back with more Slice with Sci-Fi next week. Take care.